Hello and welcome to the In the Pen podcast, part of the Pitcher List podcast network. I am Jake Crumpler, your host for the day, joined as always by Pitcher List's bullpen expert, Rick Graham. Rick, how you doing? I know you were just in New Hampshire. Was that sick? Good to get some time away from the relievers?
Yeah, it was nice to have a little bit of a break from, being in the city and kind of getting away and being on a lake for a couple days. Yeah, it's definitely needed at this time of the year as we get closer to the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. It always feels like the dog days of summer are July, but it's really like this second to last month where it feels like things are close to being done, but we still got a third of the way to go. So, yeah, I'm glad that you got some time off to recover. And I also had some time off to recover as well as I celebrated my birthday on the 22nd. Yes. Woo, 25.
Happy birthday. Big 25.
Quarter life crisis. Here we go. But this is a bullpen podcast, and we will be covering all of the news that has happened over the last week. Usually we have a main topic, but there's been so much going on this past week in terms of players losing their closer job, getting injured, people moving up, doing well, going off. There's just so much to cover that we didn't even need to come up with something special like we did last week when we covered which pitchers might be limited going into the last couple of months. So today we're just going to, cover the big news points from the last week. But as always, we start off by covering your closer chart, your top 30 closers from around baseball. You rank them every week, and we like to cover guys that are moving up and down the chart. And this week, we're going to once again do three up and three down. Three guys that are moving up your chart this week are all guys that did not start the season as the closer. And so that's pretty interesting. It's closer roles are always moving and shaking. It's hard to pin them down. But right now, these guys have very firm grips on the roles, and they've been performing quite well. Those three guys are Felix Bautista of the Baltimore Orioles, Tanner Scott of the Miami Marlins, and Kyle Finnegan of the Washington Nationals. Why don't we start off with Bautista? Why is he moving up your chart this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can honestly, with all three of them, it's basically because they're the closer for their team and there's no competition right now. So that's just, from everything that's kind of happened in the past week with injuries or, guys getting removed from the role, there's just so much volatility at the back, the back half of that list that by default, these kind of locked in closes are moving up the list. And, Scott's been, we'll talk about Bautista. So Batista's obviously been, they went out and traded Jorge Lopez, and Bautista's filled in. It has been better than Lopez was anyway, so they haven't lost a step there. He's been absolutely electric, and he's like, we talked about him a little bit last week, and definitely someone who I'm starting to think is like a top five or six closer potentially heading into next season.
Wow. Yeah, he's been pretty unstoppable. 35% K rate, sub 1.7 ERA. He's already up to 9 saves now. He's just massive. I would not be able to get a hit off him. Not that I'd be able to get a hit off anybody, but it's like
poor Eloy Jimenez. Oh man, did you see? He got hit in the elbow with 100 mile per hour fastball.
No,
ouch. If Eloy didn't need any more, bad breaks.
That can't feel good at all. That's definitely not something that's good for an injury prone player like Eloy. But Bautista's been super reliable all year long, and now that he's a closer for a team that's really not bad at all, he deserves to be moving up. So we'll move to the National League, to the Miami Marlins, and Tanner Scott's been there. We talked for a long time this season about how the Marlins struggled to find a closer, and they settled on Tanner Scott, and he sort of held on to it throughout the season. And it's not because he's been super dominant or anything. There are better relievers in that bullpen, but they've just stuck with him. He strikes out a lot of guys and he walks a lot of guys, but he's been able to hold on to the closer role. Is that why you've moved him up this week? Just because he's one of the few guys in baseball right now that have a firm grip on their role.
There doesn't seem to be any sort of anyone challenging him right now for the role, and he has been better lately. You know, walks are still a concern. I think I put it basically whenever he walks, like a lot of his bad outing. I mean, it makes sense. A lot of his bad outings come when he puts guys on base. So if he could just like bring that down a little bit, I mean, it kind of reminds me of like I was when Tanner Rainey like first kind of came up with Washington, and I'm like, just if he could just, you know, get the walk rate down, he's never going to like he's not going to have a great walk rate, but just brings it down a little bit. I think all of a sudden we're talking about an elite reliever here, and Rainey was able to do that for a season. And, you know, so I'm still waiting for Scott to kind of just reel that command control in a little bit. His stuff's obviously dominant. He gets tons of swings and misses. He's always had a high K rate. So, you know, he's close to kind of breaking out, but he's still, until that walk rate comes down, he's, you know, someone who's not going to give you the best ratios. But he's getting saves right now, so at least he's giving you saves and Ks.
Yeah, that's really all that matters in roto leagues for sure. You really just need guys that are getting you saves, because there's only 30 of them. There's actually probably fewer than 30 of them because it's all so spread out. But yeah, it's been interesting to see him hold on to a role, even though he hasn't been, you know, close to one of the most dominant relievers in baseball. But yeah, like you said, he's just a guy who needs to throw the ball in the strike zone. It's sort of similar to a starter in Aaron Ashby, who has just incredible stuff. He just can't throw it in the zone. Like, nobody's going to hate your stuff, bro. Just throw it in the zone. So right. Yeah, I think he's either being too fine or he really can't control it. But yeah, it's turned into a 30% strikeout rate and a 4.25 ERA just about. And he's up to 19 saves now, which is pretty solid. That puts him pretty high on the leaderboard, and very surprising from a guy who was acquired in the offseason in a trade along with Cole Sulcer from the Baltimore Orioles. So the Baltimore Orioles have just been pumping out relievers and just moving them all across the league, which is not something I would have expected prior to the season starting. But we're going to stick to the NL East with the last closer moving up the reliever chart this week, and that's Kyle Finnegan on the Nationals. He took over the closer role when Tanner Rainey went out with Tommy John surgery. Actually, I don't even know if he's had Tommy John surgery yet. It was an elbow injury.
I believe he did, yeah.
He did have it? Okay. Well, yeah. There it is. Kyle Finnegan took over for him, and he's been pretty solid. I mean, he doesn't really have much competition there. His only real competition, Kyle Edwards Jr., has sort of fallen off a little bit. They have very comparable numbers right now, so they're sort of just, it just seems like the same thing as last year where Finnegan took over for the guy who was the closer in the first half, and it's just being sort of decent. You know, he's not terrible. He's not going to blow your socks off, but he gets the job done. Why is he moving up specifically for you this week?
Yeah, basically just because it looks like he's starting to push or pull away from Carl Edwards there. For a second, it looked like there may be a bit of a timeshare committee thing going on, but he's gotten, I think, the past two, possibly three saves, and he's been used more in the ninth than Edwards has. So looking like, and Edwards has been good too, but yeah, like you said, it's kind of, there's not a whole lot of difference between the two. So I'd imagine with Finnegan having some sort of, you know, some experience in the role last year, that's going to help him, you know, stick in the closer position for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Dave Martinez probably has some affinity to him that he just feels comfortable using him in the ninth like he did last season. But yeah, those are the three guys moving up this week, Bautista, Scott, and Finnegan. So if you've got them on your fantasy teams, feel comfortable right now with them. They should be able to be pretty decent throughout the rest of the year, at least reliable in getting saves. And now it's time to move on to the three guys that are moving down this week. And there's some pretty notable names. We got Josh Hader, Craig Kimbrell, and Rowan Wick. Hader's on the Padres now. Kimbrell's on the Dodgers, and Wick is on the Chicago Cubs. All of these guys are sort of out of the closer role right now, which, are they still on your chart?
No. It was weird seeing Josh. I had to put Josh Hader with the holds list this week. It's just so weird. Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking before the show. I don't think anybody would have believed you if you had told them the order of events in the San Diego closer role. We'll get into that a little bit more. But why is Hader specifically moving? I mean, why did he move off your list this week?
I mean, he's been removed from the closer role. And yeah, like you said, especially with all three of these guys, we're going to kind of talk about these situations and how they all have kind of fallen out of favor. But Hader's definitely the big name that sticks out. You know, a lot of people were drafted. We talked about him and Kimbrel last week and how they might get some sort of rest down the stretch, but it might be a combination of maybe they're not getting rest, but they're definitely not getting this type of high leverage work that, you know, they're accustomed to, it looks like. So yeah, I still wouldn't be shocked. I mean, it's good to see that Hader has an understanding of what the issue is and with his release point, and that seems like something that can be worked on and figured out. But it's definitely gonna not happen overnight. So I still have hope for him having a big September, but right now it's definitely not what, you know, people who drafted him are looking for.
Definitely not. He was going super early in drafts, about as early as we've ever seen a closer go in fantasy baseball drafts. And it was deserved. He had a 1.23 ERA last year, and it is up to 5.17 right now. So it's not really ideal. He's just been allowing too many base runners, and it's hard for him to work around it because he's a fly ball guy. And so when people hit home runs off him, they're going to be multi-run home runs. And that's not really the ideal skill set for a closer. That's for sure. Another guy who has been dominant throughout his career is Craig Kimbrel. And he is also out of the closer role on another NL West team. And this one's a little bit less surprising. I think if you had told people before the season that Kimbrel wouldn't hold on to his role throughout the season, they wouldn't be as surprised considering how he performed with the White Sox in the second half. But yet it's like he's on the Dodgers. You sort of expect the Dodgers to be able to turn everybody into an all-star, and they haven't been able to do that with Kimbrel. They haven't been able to get him right. He has a 4.36 ERA, and obviously you removed him off the chart because he's not the, you know, one out closer anymore. It's not just him. They're going to start using a committee or giving him a break like we suspected last week. But what was there anything that's like caught your eye on him or anything, or was there anything of note that like made you consider taking him off with any reason other than he's not the main guy there?
I've been slowly moving him down the ranks as the season's gone along. Kind of had him stuck in the like late teens, and yeah, it's just been, I think we've talked about it in previous podcasts, how he's just been super hittable this year, and you know, he's allowed base runners in almost every one of his outings, and just nothing clean. Like the old, you know, Craig Kimbrel would just, you know, go strike out the side in order and call it a day, and he is not even close to that this season. I think it's a combination of trying. I think Dave Roberts brought it up, and there could be something to it where he thinks he's maybe trying too much too hard to strike people out instead of just going out there and trusting his stuff and, you know, making good pitches and executing. He's trying a little to be a little bit more, you know, finessed with his location, and it's not really the issues. I mean, we're not talking about like Chicago Cubs, early Chicago Cubs era Craig Kimbrel, where he was either walking everyone or giving up home runs. So he's not that bad yet, but it's certainly something they want to get fixed as they head into the postseason. At least they have time to, you know, get him right, and they don't really have to rush anything with their comfortable lead in the NL West. So yeah, I don't know. I'm more confident in Hader figuring things out than Kimbrel at this point, but again, I wouldn't be surprised if Kimbrel, you know, turns things around by the end of September and is their trusted closer for October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's probably just throwing too many pitches in the zone, trying to avoid walking guys, and that sort of gets him hurt because it just gives people stuff to hit. And his stuff is still pretty good, that he should be able to strike guys out. But I mean, if you look at his last few seasons, they've just been, I don't remember Kimbrel being this bad, but it was like 2019, 6.53 ERA, 2020, 5.28. He obviously was good in the first half of 2021, but he was awful in the second half. And now he's up to a 4.36 ERA. So for a guy that looked like a Hall of Famer through the first half of his career, it's really going downhill now. And, you know, if the Dodgers can't fix him, like they're going to need to trade him to the Rays or something, because that might be his last chance.
But he's really only had, I mean, I think going back to that last season, he was with the Red Sox. He was really not good the second half there. So like,
it's been a long time
since the second half of 2018. I mean, he's only had one good half of a season, and that was like the first half last year. So yeah, it's not really something to definitely worry about if you're counting on him as a Dodger fan.
Mm-hmm. Well, joining Kimbrel as a former Cubs closer is Rowan Wick, who seems to have lost the exclusivity of his claim on the job in Chicago, because he's just like, he had a stretch where he was doing really well, and it sort of faded this week, as well as Brandon Hughes climbing up the ranks a little bit. We're going to cover him a little bit more in depth, but for now, is Wick just moving off the chart because he's not the closer, and do you have any faith in him turning things around in the next few weeks?
Not exactly. I think, and he was on, I had him on the up list last week, and I did have the caveat that like his three saves came against the Nationals and the Reds, which, to be fair, the Cubs do have a pretty favorable schedule. I mean, they get the Pirates and the Reds a couple more times, I believe. So, but yeah, he's just not good. And I'm glad that they gave him Brandon Hughes a shot, because he looks like he could be a nice piece for them moving forward. And I don't know, maybe he can become their closer, you know, moving forward for next year and whatnot. But yeah, Hughes is definitely more intriguing. And for those looking for someone in this bullpen, I would definitely prefer him closing out games than Wick and his whatever 1.6. whatever whip it is at this
1.68. Yeah. It's not great. I'm looking at his pitcher list player page, and it's all the charts are blue, and he just doesn't have really any standout abilities. And if you look at his strikeout and walk numbers, it was like last year he had a strikeout rate that was 7% higher than this year, which is this year it's at 22%, but he also walked 4.5% more batters. So it seems to be a trade-off of just like, oh, I'll walk less guys, but then I'm going to be a below average strikeout reliever. And yeah, I mean, he just seems like a middle of the bullpen type guy, not somebody you want to count on closing out games, and putting a bunch of runners on base in the ninth inning is really not ideal at all.
No. Nope.
Yeah. Well, so those are the three guys moving down and moving off the list because of their performance over the last week or so. And hopefully a couple of these guys can turn it around. There's definitely no guarantee Wick is going to be getting his job back because, like I said, he doesn't really have great skills. But Hader and Kimbrel have been struggling for a while now, and their pedigrees are not going to be enough to keep them in their closer role in the future or get it back. But I'm sure all of these teams are going to hope that their bullpens are going to be able to turn it around in the near future. But now it's time to move on to the news and the changes and the movers and the shakers over the past week or so. We've got a lot of big news. We're going to start with the Philadelphia, where Sir Anthony Dominguez is out with a tricep strain or something.
Yes, that sounds right. Let me see. Yeah, tricep tendonitis. It was the tricep something. Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
No.
I don't think
good news is to pitch
too well either.
Yeah, good news is they're expecting him to only miss 15 days. So
that's good. But that does line David Robertson, the midseason acquisition, up to be the closer. When he was first acquired, it was sort of unclear whether or not he was going to be the closer. And then based off what happened after the deadline, it seemed like Dominguez was the one who was being favored. But now with Dominguez out, Robertson is the clear guy there, with Brad Hand being the number two, who probably won't be stealing too many saves. He seems more like the setup guy. But so How are you valuing Robertson now that he is the clear-cut closer in Philadelphia? And are you going to be dropping Dominguez in leagues that you don't have an IL?
I think I might, because they brought Robertson over and the expectation was that he was going to be the closer and Sir Anthony would move back into the holds role. And, you know, surprisingly, kind of, you know, they they stuck with Sir Anthony Dominguez in the closer role, which was, you know, it was, you know, probably the right decision. He's pitching so well this season. But now that he's missing some time and Robertson, and if you look at the Phillies schedule is so, I mean, it's either the easiest schedule the rest of the way, or it's the top two or three. So I think there's a chance for Robinson to kind of, if he can stick in the role and they don't, you know, use Hand and, you know, others to close out games, I think Robertson can kind of just run away with this and they can ease Sir Anthony back into the role, into a holds role. And that would, yeah, I mean, I think you only are keeping Sir Anthony Dominguez if you have an IL spot at this point, especially if you're, you know, battling for a playoff spot and you only have 2 or 3 weeks left. I think you have to move on from someone like that.
Yeah, it's that time of the season where guy gets injured, you got to make a quick decision whether or not to cut him, because there really isn't much time yet. If a guy misses the next 2 weeks, that's like a third of the rest of the season. That's a lot of time, especially for a guy that isn't guaranteed to take the closer back, because the Phillies have other guys there that they obviously acquired because they were enamored with their ability. And Robertson has been great this year, striking out 31% of batters. He's got a 2.16 ERA. I think it's his best ERA since 2017, and he's got his most saves at 18 since 2016. And that's pretty impressive. He's been vintage David Robertson. I think he's like 37 now. Pretty cool. He's going to be a free agent after this year, so they can just ride it till the wheels fall off. And yeah, it's really disappointing, because I was loving what Sir Anthony was doing all year. I think both of us were guys that were calling on him to be the closer way early in the season, and it paid off well for anybody that, you know, jumped onto that early. But yeah, let's hope he can come back healthy. I would love to see the Phillies do well in the playoffs. They've really been an unfortunate franchise for the last few seasons or so. And Bryce Harper just returned today too, so they seem to be getting back to full strength. But there is some other big news going on right now. Today, Ryan Pressly was placed on the 15-day IL with neck soreness. Is that what it was? Yeah, I think so. Which is really disappointing, because he was my biggest closer in my home league. And it sort of just puts me out of the race, especially because Zach Wheeler just hit the IL too. Oh, okay. Well, actually, the Phillies are pretty disappointing. They're just very unfortunate. But yeah, Ryan Pressly hitting the IL is not great. It seems like a minor injury that shouldn't keep him out too long. It's also backdated to Monday the 22nd. So he could return, I think, either the 5th or the 6th of September. And that's not too long, 15 days. And he will get the closer role right back when he returns, because he is the clear-cut guy there. But how are you valuing the rest of the relievers in that bullpen? I think Pressly is, I think he's a clear hold, honestly, because he's like a top five, top 10 guy in amongst closers. So I think he's a guy you can't let go of, especially because this injury seems minor. But how are you valuing guys like Rafael Montero, Hector Neris, Will Smith, and Ryan Stanek? Who do you think has the best chance at getting the majority of the saves going forward? And who would you be running to the wire to pick up?
My guess would be Neris, but it's funny you mentioned all those guys who all have closer experience, and I'm reading the little Yahoo write up, and it's saying Hector Neris and Brian Abreu are the most likely candidates to handle the ninth inning. Which Abreu, he's been good. He's pitched really well this year. He's been kind of the unsung hero out of that bullpen, but that still would be a bit of a shock to me. If I know Neris has been, you know, a little hit or miss, but I still like, I think that he's still probably the favorite. Montero has been struggling a little bit lately, and Will Smith has been, you know, it's been very mediocre this season for both the Braves and the Astros. So it'll probably be some sort of committee, but at the end of the day, and if you're going to take a chance on someone, I'd say Neris, but yeah, you definitely want to hold on to Pressly, I think, especially because he might only miss another week in like a couple days. So yeah, if you can hang on for another week, definitely hold on to Pressly.
I agree, but I don't know if Neris is going to be the one. You noted that Neris has sort of slowed, or that Montero has slowed down the past week or two, and that's true. I think he's allowed 7 runs across his last 5 1/3 innings pitched. 8 runs, 7 earned. That comes out to an 11.8 run ERA, but he still sports a 2.61 ERA and a 26% strikeout rate. So he's been really great all year. He does have the most saves amongst that group of closer committee guys. So I've always thought that he was the next in line there. He's been the setup guy on the reliever depth charts, on the reliever ranks every week. So I've always thought he was the next guy up. But I mean, yeah, that's a great point that Montero has been slowing down recently, but I think Neris has been too. I thought he had like a really great...
He had a bad he had a bad outing this past week, I believe. But
yeah, I think he's allowed 5 runs across his last 4 appearances, which covers 4.1 innings. So not great. But yeah, I mean, all these guys I think are serviceable. I think Will Smith is the one who's going to get is the least likely to get saves. I think he would only do it if they have like a bunch of lefties coming up in the ninth. Yeah, exactly. I just don't think that he's that dominant out there. Actually, I'm interested to see how good he's been since he landed in Houston, because they've been known to have great pitching development beside the sticky stuff. But no, he's not been great.
He's been mediocre at best.
4.5 ERA across 8 innings since coming over at the trade deadline. So yeah, I don't really see anything there. I think the wild card here is Ryan Stanek. I think he's going to be the least rostered in most leagues. He does have the best stats out of all of them. He doesn't strike out the most guys. He's second behind Neris amongst those 4 guys, but he's got a 1.28 ERA, which is like top 5 in baseball amongst guys with at least 40 innings pitched. And that, like, that's incredible. He's only got 13 holds. They've sort of limited him a little. He does have the fewest innings pitched amongst those 4 guys, but he's been so dominant this year. I think there's a chance. I just wonder what Dusty Baker prefers.
He too has, I believe, has not been pitching very well as of late too. Their bullpen is kind of, I think that's why Abreu got kind of a shout out there, is because he's been their best reliever this month, I think. So they may go with him and they might ride the hot hand, but yeah, they do have so many other options who have closed out games before. So I don't know if that's the role that they're going to throw him into right now.
Stanek's been like crazy. He had like he didn't allow a run for like 3 months or something. He's allowed 2 in the past month. So
he's had, he has like these bouts with his command where he just kind of loses it, but yeah, for the most part, he's been really good this season.
Oh, that's a good point. He has walked a lot of guys over the past week. I think it's 4, 5, 7 across his last like 6 appearances, and that's not great. So yeah, maybe it is one of those times where he's starting to lose it a little. But I've loved Brian Abreu all season long, and it's mostly because he's a guy who can go multiple innings. Obviously, if he's the closer, he's not going to be going multiple innings, but he strikes out 35% of batters, which according to the pitcher list charts, he's 12th amongst relievers, which is crazy. He limits hard contact, gets a lot of swings and misses. I think he throws pretty hard too. 97 mile per hour average velocity on that 4-seamer, and he's got a slider that produces a CSW of 38%. So pretty incredible fastball slider guy. I mean, if anybody's the closer of the future, I think it's Abreu, and maybe that future is now, but it would only be for a short time because Presley should hopefully be back soon. But let's move on to one guy that we've already talked about, and that's Josh Hader in San Diego. I mentioned this very quickly, but I don't think anybody would have believed you if you mentioned the order of events in San Diego. You know, like preseason, it was like Robert Suarez. I remember everybody was super hyped about him coming over. Was it Japan? Pretty sure it was Japan. Coming over from Japan, he was just amazing over there. And he was going to come over and be the closer in San Diego. And that just didn't go as everybody planned because the team acquired Taylor Rogers like the day before the season started. And then Taylor Rogers was like the best closer in baseball for the first couple of months. I think he was leading baseball in saves for quite a while, definitely the National League. And I think if you tell somebody that and then also say, you know, then they acquired Josh Hader at the trade deadline, that they would be like, oh, okay, wow, like that bullpen is crazy. There's no way a starter that they acquired who was pitching, I think he was pitching in Korea, Nick Martinez, would be one of the guys in a closer committee alongside Luis Garcia, who was acquired as a free agent in the offseason. It's just, looking back on it in hindsight, it's just crazy that it's gone this far. I think everybody had so much confidence in Taylor Rogers. I think a lot of people were excited about what Suarez was going to do. And then when Hader came over, it was just all over. You know, Padres are going to have just, they just had the best deadline. And oof, it's just been a rough few weeks since the deadline with the Tatis suspension, and now Hader falling apart, and
you know, Soto's back's hacking up.
Ooh, I did not hear that. Yeah, let's hope they can figure things out, because last year's collapse was absolutely embarrassing. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. But who are you favoring among Luis Garcia and Nick Martinez? I really liked Martinez all year long. I liked him when he was a starter. I drafted him in TGFBI. I liked him as a reliever because I love those guys that go multiple innings. They're super valuable in pretty much every league if they're good. And I'm liking him now because he's getting saved. So who do you prefer amongst Luis Garcia and Nick Martinez?
It's a tough call. I think Garcia is going to get the most chances. And I guess if you like, honestly, looking at it from just like a non-save perspective between Garcia, Martinez and Suarez, not one of the three really sticks out as like being way ahead of the others. So I think it comes down to who's going to get the most save chances. And right now I think it looks like it's going to be Suarez, but yeah, they all kind of do a little, you know, something a little bit different. Like Suarez has a really good, good change up. Garcia's got a great slider. Martinez can give you multiple innings, can do, you know, stretch things out a little bit. So, Hader figures things out, that's great. But you also got Drew Pomeranz potentially coming back, and I don't know if you can really count on him for much, but still another, you know, high leverage option that they might have at the back end of the bullpen for September. So, I guess you just got to read kind of the how this thing is going. And right now, I think Garcia is the favorite. But if Martinez gets the next save chance, and you know, he's definitely someone to stash and, you know, ride with as long as, you know, they're getting that save chances.
Yeah, definitely. I think Luis Garcia is also going to be the one to get the most saves, but I love what Nick Martinez has been doing since hitting the bullpen. Since June 22nd. Oh, that was a sound. Since June 22nd, when he became a reliever full time, he has a 1.21 ERA across 29 and two thirds innings pitch with a 22-7 strikeout to walk ratio. So he's been pretty dominant as a reliever. I think the underlying metrics don't really support it as well. I think he's been pretty lucky, but nonetheless, he's been performing when he's been called upon in the bullpen. And that's sort of all you really want from the guys coming out of the bullpen. But yeah, I think the Padres are going to do all they can to get Hader right, because they're going to need him not only in the stretch run once we get to the end of September or near the end of September, but also in the playoffs. So I think they're going to do their best, but right now I would hop on Garcia. But also I think Nick Martinez is definitely worth it to pick up, because he has just been pitching so well as a reliever and will probably get half of the save opportunities with Garcia. I don't know. They don't have like the handedness thing. So it's not really like, Oh, this guy's going to face all the lefties or this guy's going to face all the righties. I think it's just, who do you prefer, and watch who ends up getting the saves. Right now, Nick Martinez got the last save, but the day before, Luis Garcia got the save and he had pitched on back-to-back days, which sort of led to Martinez. So it does seem like Garcia might have the leg up, but it's definitely worth it to watch as we go forward. We're going to stick with, or do you have any other thoughts on that?
No, that's, yeah, I think if you're in a deeper league, it's worth kind of speculating on both Garcia and Martinez at this point and just seeing how things play out.
Definitely. So let's stick with, the NL West. We're going to talk about another guy that we just talked about too, and that's Craig Kimbrel. We want to go into this bullpen a little bit deeper, talk about the guys who will be getting more save opportunities while the Dodgers attempt to get Kimbrel right, in the same vein as Hader. Who do you think is the top guy to go add right now?
Well, I think, you know, Brusdar Graterol just came back and he's looked good so far. But I feel like, I mean, Evan Phillips has just been so good for them this year. I feel like he definitely deserves a shot, and I think he converted a save this past week, and I would love to see him, you know, I'd love to see them just kind of see how he handles the role for the next month or so. And until they figure, you know, they want to put Kimbrel back in there. Even when Shrinen comes back, I feel like, you know, there's no reason to rush him right back into save situations. You can kind of ease him in. They have a lot of wiggle room there, you know, up however 16 games or whatever it is in the NOS. So, yeah, I think it's kind of interesting that they have all these. They have like a pretty. They've had some injuries, but their bullpen's still pretty deep, and you know, there's the lefty and Alex Vesia could. He's been pitching well. He could help out against lefties, but I think Phillips deserves the first shot, and if not him, I would love to see Gratterall, but I don't know if that's again just coming back from injury. There's no reason to kind of rush him into some sort of high leverage situation. High stress spots.
I agree. I've always thought Gratterall was the closer of the future, but I don't think that's just yet, especially with Kimbrel still in town. I think they'll use Phillips just because he's been so incredible this year. 1.29 ERA with a 31.5% strikeout rate. Those are pretty hard to argue against as a guy that deserves to be the closer. And I think the Dodgers will be just fine in that division, like you mentioned. So they don't really have to worry about it too much. But you know, I think they'll just turn to the best guy. It may be more of a closer committee, but I think they're gonna be smart about it. I think they'll give Kimbrel, like, I think they'll take it easy on him over the next couple of weeks. Maybe try to mix him into a couple closing situations, save situations. I think that it just seems like such like a confidence thing a lot of the time with closers, that you just have to like get a few batters out in a row, like have a few clean outings, and then you can come out and do it in a save situation, and then you sort of feel like, oh, I got my mojo back. Like, he just seems like one of those guys that can. I mean, I don't know him personally at all, but he seems to get flustered sometimes, and it just like he just needs to get that confidence back, and then he'll be that intimidating presence on the mound. But yeah, this is definitely a bullpen to capitalize on. I'm sure a lot of fantasy managers have already capitalized on going and getting Phillips, but especially because he's been so great all season. But yeah, he's definitely got a chance to get a lot of saves, because the Dodgers win a lot of games, but also they sort of blow out a lot of teams. So there's not really many save opportunities. They've only had one across the past week, and that went to Phillips all the way last Friday. So yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear like who's the next guy up, but it's not clear how long Kimbrel's going to be out.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It is funny how, like, you know, sometimes we equate wins to saves. But yeah, the Dodgers really haven't had a ton of save chances this year, and they could potentially set the record for most wins in a season. And, you know, like, it just goes to show how dominant they really have been this season. I don't know, that hurts you. I'm sorry to talk up the Dodgers, but I mean,
oh, it's okay. I've gotten used to it. And at least they won the World Series in 2020, so you can say the excuse of Mickey Mouse championship and all that stuff. They still have less World Series than the Giants, so I've got no problem with the Dodgers being like, oh, we got the regular season trophy, the division champion trophy. That's fine with me, as long as they're heartbroken in the playoffs. But we've got a couple more bullpens to cover before we just go over a few more bullpens in sort of a lighter view and then close things out. But right now we're going to take a quick break. All right. And we're back. I am Jake Crumpler, joined by Rick Graham. This is the In the Pen podcast, and we're going to continue mowing down the bullpen situations across the league, the ones that have been changing, news that's been coming out. Some of the big news from a bullpen that has just been absolutely destroyed by injuries all season long is the New York Yankees bullpen. It's been, I don't even know what's going on there. I don't know who they pissed off, like what ancient god they let out of a book or a treasure chest or something. They did something wrong. Because they've been just destroyed by injuries all season long. We've talked about it countless times with Chad Green, Michael King, Zach Britton, and now Clay Holmes and Scott Efros are on the IL. And the guys that they've gotten back from the IL in Aroldis Chapman and Loaisiga haven't been too incredible. And so they're basically sitting out there with just a massive closer committee, and it's sort of hard to figure out who's going to be the closer there. who do you think's gonna take it? Because there's just nobody that's super appealing. Like, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Lou Trevino starts getting saves out there, which I don't think anybody would have seen coming, even after being acquired at the deadline.
Yeah, I know. Imagine, just imagine thinking in April that, hey, Lou Trevino is going to actually be the Yankees closer come September. Just so that. No, I mean, that might be the case here, because I know Holmes is expected back on Monday, but I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if you really want to throw him right back into the into that role, because I'm not sure. There's definitely a possibility the back issues played into his struggles, but I also think that there's, you know, it seemed like hitters were starting to figure him out a little bit and not chasing his slider, you know, his stuff out of the zone anymore. And that really, you know, that his walk rate skyrocketed, and, you know, that led to obviously to bad things, which is what will happen if you walk too many guys. So, you know, Jonathan Weisiger is right now, I guess, the favorite, but, like, he has not been good this season as well. And, you know, right as I thought Aroldis Chapman was turning a corner, he goes out and just has two awful outings. And I think at this point it's going to be really hard to trust him at any point this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Efros was definitely someone I was interested in. And, of course, he ends up getting hurt. So it's like,
yeah,
where do they turn to now? I don't know. They're, you know, they really need to hope that Holmes is able to whatever was wrong has been fixed with this IL stint, because they might be in trouble in that with that role. I really don't know where they can turn to outside of Holmes at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely impossible to trust Chapman anymore at this point, and especially because he's going to be a free agent after this year. I don't think they have any loyalty to him anymore. I loved what Trevino's been doing all year from a skill standpoint, but I don't know if they trust him just yet. Like, it's like they don't know him well enough to trust him with that. You know, it's like you just got a new friend or something. Are you going to trust him, like, taking care of your house or something? Probably not.
It's a tough spot too for him to go from, you know, Oakland and just like closing out games at Yankee Stadium.
It's wild. Like, yeah, you got to have a certain mentality for that. And Loaisiga hasn't been great at all. Like, he was amazing last year. I loved what he was doing, had him on a lot of teams, but this year it's just been, he not striking out guys at all. He's got an ERA over 5.7, just not ideal. And it just seems like it's going to be one of these guys that I don't think anybody's ever heard of. Like, Wandy Peralta got the last save a couple days ago, and I think it was like a one out save or something. So that one's not too something to buy in too much, but maybe go ahead.
I was going to say, Aaron Boone does trust Wandy Peralta in some, like, in these, like, that he came in with the bases loaded to get one out. Like, Boone does trust him a lot. I don't know if he trusts him to, like, fully hand over the closer role to him, but I mean, that's definitely, definitely a name we should mention.
I think the most underrated name is a 27-year-old rookie in Ron Marinaccio. His skills are just amazing. He sort of walks too many guys. He's up to 12% on the walk rate, but he limits hits like crazy. I think he's got a 13.2% hard contact percentage, which is hard contact per plate appearance. That's fourth amongst relievers. He's got a 1.72 ERA and a 0.80 WHIP, which is bonkers, and a 30% strikeout rate. So he just does a great job of limiting hard contact, and just, like, it doesn't matter that he's throwing stuff out of the zone. It's just his changeup and slider are just impossible to hit. The changeup gets a 38% CSW. The slider is more for called strikes and stuff to keep batters off balance. But honestly, like, at this point, they might have to turn to him, because he's been the best reliever in that bullpen for quite a while. He's thrown 31 innings, and I don't, there's very few people that know his name. I know that the Yankees fans are probably loving what he's been doing so far, but I think that's definitely a guy to keep an eye on. There's not much time on the season yet, so it's sort of hard to speculate on this bullpen, because it may take 3 weeks to iron out, like, who's going to be the closer, especially with Holmes coming back soon. So I don't know if it's that worth it to speculate on guys. Obviously, I think Loaisiga might be worth it to pick up right now, because he does seem to be the guy that has the best shot at getting saves until Holmes is back. But other than that, like, I don't know if it's really worth it to go like speculating on Marinaccio or Peralta or Trevino or Chapman, because there's just so little time for everything to figure itself out.
Yeah, I like Marinaccio too, and he's probably the best guy right now that they have, the best option they have right now. They also, another 27-year-old rookie that they just called up is Greg Weisart. I don't know, he's been the closer for their AAA team, and he's put up some really good numbers this season. And I mean, we're talking about the Yankees, so like guys like Marinaccio and Weisart aren't exactly who you were expecting to hear, you know, talk about closing out games in September, in August, September, but here we are. So
yeah,
just another name to keep an eye on, I guess, because he does some pretty good stuff and put up some dominant numbers in AAA this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly surprising, not only because it's the Yankees, but just because they've been known for having such a dominant bullpen, and they had that going into the season, and now it's either all injured or all like not performing well. So yeah, very surprising. I don't think many would have expected the Yankees to have one of the most undulating bullpens in all of baseball. But let's finish things off with a bullpen that is just only unknown names, like we were talking about. Marinaccio and Weiser, it's basically like that's just the entire Cubs bullpen. We talked about Rowan Wick a little bit. It looks like he's going to be out of the closer role, or at least sharing it with Brandon Hughes, who's, you know, a relatively young guy, a relatively new pitcher in the league. He's only 26 years old. This is his rookie season, but he's been incredible for the Cubs all season long. He's definitely been one of their best relievers, and I think he sort of deserves a shot at getting some saves. He's got the last three saves for the team. How are you feeling about Brandon Hughes? How shallow of leagues, probably the better way to put it. How shallow of leagues are you going to be picking him up?
I think he's definitely in the mix in 12 teamers for, you know, a lot of reasons, especially if we get the sense that he is going to be their closer for the rest of the year. The Cubs are bad, but they're not terrible to the point where, and again, like, they have a decent schedule, so I mean, he should be able to, if he has that role, he should be a pretty, you know, good contributor for the rest of the year. And definitely in roto leagues you're going to want to take a shot, but yeah, in 12 team, you know, standard head-to-head leagues, I think he's worth adding. And he doesn't have an insanely high strikeout rate, but he has, you know, he gets swings and misses. He's not going to kill your ratios. He's not Rowan Wick with a 1.680 whip. So, I mean, yeah, I'm interested in him and seeing how he fares in this role. You know, I would like to see him, you know, in this role for the rest of the year and see maybe they have their closer of the future there.
Yeah, that would be cool if we could see this guy just sort of come into his own and emerge as one of the better relievers in Chicago. I think it's sort of different from Wick. When we were talking about Wick taking over the closer role when Robertson was traded to the Phillies, we noted that the Cubs aren't too great and neither is Wick. So that sort of is a bad combination for a guy that's trying to get you saves. But this is like bad team and a guy who seems to be really good. Like a near 32% strikeout rate is very solid, and he does allow a lot of fly balls, but he's sort of been able to work around that because he doesn't walk too many guys. He was only walking 7.5% of batters. So that's a pretty good combination of, you can keep your BABIP down. And if you give up home runs, it's not going to hurt you too bad because there aren't a lot of base runners. So I mean, that's been pretty cool. He doesn't throw too hard. He's also a lefty, which is, you know, the only thing that sort of hurts him, because you don't really see too many lefty closers nowadays. But, you know, the Cubs don't really have a lot to lose. You might as well see what you got in Hughes. Ooh, that was, I am a poet. That was sick. I also agree. I would love to see what he can do for the rest of the season. And maybe he'll be, you know, pretty high up on the closer chart going into next season and will be drafted sort of everywhere if he can really lay claim to this role and the Cubs don't add anybody in the offseason.
Yeah, for sure. That's the thing, is I feel like the Cubs, even though they're not really in win now mode, they still will spend some money. So I would expect them to, you know, still add a veteran reliever or two this offseason. But still, Hughes is definitely a fun name to keep an eye on, for especially for those in, you know, deeper save plus hold leagues.
Definitely. If you're in a 15 teamer, I would say just go pick him up right now, especially if you can move up a couple spots in your roto league. on the saves department. But before we close things out, we're just going to quickly roll over a couple bullpens, a few bullpens, just because they've been in flux all season, and it's always worth it to check in and see, you know, what the heck is going on. One of those where you just never really know what's going on is in Tampa Bay. It seemed like Jason Adam was the clear-cut closer. He's been incredible all season long, 1.22 ERA with a 33% strikeout rate. But Pete Fairbanks returned, and he's got the two of the team's last three saves. The other one went to Sean Armstrong because Fairbanks pitched on back-to-back days. The Rays sort of like to go in waves of using guys, it seems like. Like, they'll use Jason Adam for 2 weeks as the closer, and you're like, oh, well, looks like he's the closer. And then Brooks Raley gets the next three saves, and then Pete Fairbanks will get to go for 3 weeks or whatever. So it's really hard to tell. But you got any thoughts on the Rays bullpen? Obviously, you're going to think that it's in flux, but is there any any bit of notes that you can give to prospective fantasy managers looking to capitalize on what's going on here?
I think it depends on... Well, you know what? I think Jason Adam, Pete Fairbanks, and Brooks Raley are probably, I mean, worth rostering in 12 team head to head leagues. I like, why not? They're not going to, even if they don't get you saves, they're not going to hurt you with, you know, bad ratios. And you're still going to get some strikeouts each week from them and potentially a win here and there, as well as, you know, whoever the closer of the week is that, you know, they choose to go with. So, I think all three of them kind of have value, and at this point, it's like not even worth trying to figure out who the guy is to roster here. It's just like all three of them are kind of in a committee, but they all kind of have their own worth, and they're definitely back of the roster relievers to look at, you know, having.
Definitely. I agree on just the point of just holding on to them, like using them when you don't want to start a starter for a week or just switching them in and out. I've had Brooks Raley in a couple year leagues all year long just because he's been so reliable and he's been striking out like 30% of guys with a very low ERA. And that's sort of what you want, even if he's not going to get you a ton of saves. It's just he's going to improve your ratios and get you some strikeouts. Another bullpen that has been in flux all year long is in Boston. We're sticking in the NL or AL East. And this one, it's just been hard to figure out all year long. And then now with Tanner Houck being on the IL for the last couple of weeks, I thought maybe we'd get some clarity. I thought Whitlock would just run away with this, but he really hasn't. And Schreiber is still just having an incredible breakout season. And last week, it seemed like Matt Barnes was sort of coming back into his own, but I'm not really sure there. Do you have any insight? I mean, this is your team. I feel like you should know what's going on.
So it should be Whitlock. Whitlock should be should be the closer from now until his contract's out. I don't think that I wouldn't even mess with him in the rotation. I would just, you know, he's paid for the next 6 years, I think it is. So just stick him in that role. But I don't hate the idea I'm going to say the Red Sox season's pretty much over at this point. I don't think that's a surprise. That's not a shock, but yeah. I wouldn't mind them if they want to just, you know, see what Matt Barnes can do in September in the closer role, just to see what they have there and, you know, moving forward, then sure. Schreiber has been struggling lately. I think he's been overused in the first half and probably not used to this type of, you know, obviously not used to this type of usage. So I think they might want to either shut him down or just slow down his, you know, how they're using him a little bit. So I think it's between Whitlock and Barnes. And like I said, it's Whitlock's your closer of the future, but I understand if they want to see, you know, how Barnes reacts to the role for the last month of the year.
Yeah. Might as well just experiment a little, see what's going on there. See, just evaluate your staff going into the off season. And this is a good time to do it when you feel things slipping away. Maybe you can strike gold and that kind of stuff. But Whitlock has just been so amazing as a reliever. I noted in the reliever ranks on Thursday that he has a 4.15 ERA in 39 innings pitched as a starter. And in 31 and a third innings pitched as a reliever, he has a 1.45 ERA. So I think it's pretty clear where he excels the most, and that's in the bullpen. And hopefully the Red Sox continue to use him there. And you know, if they're actually trying to win games, it's going to be Whitlock closing out games there, because it's hard to trust a guy in Matt Barnes with a 6 ERA.
Yeah. I don't expect anything. He's been pitching better lately, but I don't think all is fixed there. So, but yeah, I mean, he's owed, I think, $8 million next year, something close to it. So,
yikes.
So yeah, you might want to see, like, you know, what he has left in the tank here.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't think anybody's going to be trying to trade for him this offseason unless you sort of build up his value by showing that he still got it in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
But moving from your team to one of my teams, we're going to talk about the A's for just a tiny little bit. I noted last week that you should run to the wire and pick up Danny Jimenez, because he does seem to be the guy who's going to be the closer. He did get a save chance. I think it was last night. He blew it, and that was unfortunate. The A's still came away with the win, but you know, Jimenez was handed the save chance and he wasn't able to hold it down. It's pretty confusing what's going on there. I mean, AJ Puck's been used all over the place, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning. And Zach Jackson just seems like the ideal setup guy. Like, he walks too many guys to be a guy to trust in the ninth inning, but he's just like so good in those middle innings. He leads baseball with 26 holds, which,
yeah,
how the A's are so bad. How does he have the most holds? It's so weird. He's just such an unknown name too. I was like, my brother is like basically just as big about baseball as I am, and we were going to an A's game to see Shohei a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, all right, name three guys in the A's bullpen, and he said, I think he said AJ Puck and that Johnson guy. I was just like, oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. You need to study back up on the A's, bro. But yeah, it's really hard to figure out what's going on here. I mean, I still think it's Jimenez. I still think it's worth to hold on to him right now. I mean, obviously he's not getting you any saves, but he's a guy that was getting all the saves earlier in the season, and he was really good until he started to blow up a little before he hit the IL. What are you going to be? Who are you most excited to add on your team in this bullpen?
I don't know if I'm excited to add anyone, but I think you're right with Jimenez. I think it's like Jimenez is the guy, and there's no reason. I think that's another situation where like Oakland probably should, you know, take a look at him. I mean, he was good in the closer role before he landed on the IL. So like, see what you got here, and like, give him the last month of the season to see if like he can be your closer moving forward, because they have, I mean, he's under TV control for a while, so it's not like the A's need to look to, you know, trade him anytime soon. So I think between him and Puck, I feel like he makes the most sense. And yeah, Jackson, I'm so hesitant to, because every week I see Jackson getting like two holds or one or two holds, and I'm like, I don't feel like I don't want to move him up, because I keep thinking it's just like kind of a fluke and he keeps doing it. So I guess, I mean, he has become a really effective holds option for holds leagues. But again, I'm not sure if he's been good, but I don't know if that's really for real or not, but apparently it is. He's got 26 holds.
Yeah. Pretty incredible. But Jimenez has been really solid since returning from the IL. He's only tossed 9 2/3 innings, and he's walked 6 guys during that time. So he's been struggling with his control a little bit. It's sort of centralized into 3 of his outings where he walked 2 guys in each of them. But he's only allowed 1 run during that time for a 0.93 ERA. And he's also got 11 strikeouts, which means 10.2 strikeouts per 9. Pretty impressive. I still think he's somebody that is worth to go out. If you like take out those, like, it's like 3 outings where he gave up at least 3 runs, his ERA is super low. It's probably in the 2s, maybe even lower in the 1s. But I think he's pretty reliable. The A's are just going to need to win some games to get him some save opportunities.
Yeah, that's the key there.
Yeah. Sticking in the AL West is going to be the last team we hit before we look at a few bullpens that we'll be watching out for over the next week. The Texas Rangers have been sort of hard to figure out all year. They really have a lot of talent out there. They've been turning a lot of guys into really solid relievers. Matt Moore, Garrett Richards was pretty good in the season, but they just DFA'd him. And they turned Brock Burke from a starter into a closer. And then they got a couple guys back from Tommy John surgery, and Jonathan Hernandez and Jose Leclerc. But they haven't really been getting too many saves. Taylor Hearn got a multi-inning save. I think it was probably of the three-inning variety because he tossed 43 pitches, and I doubt he did that over one inning. No. Matt Moore also got the most recent save, and that was just his third of the season. It seemed like Jonathan Hernandez was the clear-cut guy, but it's really hard to tell right now what's going on here. Who do you prefer to add to your teams right now?
I still like Hernandez, but yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's just I was hoping he would kind of run away with it, but then Matt Moore comes in and gets a save, and Matt Moore has been really good this season, so it's I understand why. What's the interim manager? Was it Tony Beasley or
I have no idea.
But yeah, I mean, I see why they're trusting him still. And that bullpen as a whole is, like, again, sneaky, kind of decent / good. Like, between Leclerc's been pitching a lot better lately. Hernandez has been good. And then the two lefties in Burke and Moore have pitched well. So yeah, I still like Hernandez, but it is frustrating seeing Matt Moore kind of mess things up there, because I don't think you're rostering Matt Moore, unless he's like a complete, if he's getting like at least 50% of the save chances, which I doubt. But, you know, Hernandez, I thought, would be a sneaky, like, last month and a half of the season addition. But yeah, if he's not seeing all the save chances, then definitely hurts his value, especially with the Rangers, who are not expected to win a ton of games down the stretch.
Yeah, I was definitely enamored with Hernandez as well. I picked him up in a couple of leagues and have been hoping, fingers crossed, that he would get a save, and he has not done so in quite a while, even though he has pitched pretty well in the appearances that he has. But yeah, it's really hard to tell what's going to happen here. I mean, Matt Moore is a free agent after this season. They really shouldn't have any loyalty to using him in save situations unless they like talk to him and we're just like, all right, bro, we're going to do our best to get you paid this off season. Like, yeah, I don't know about that, but he's actually been really incredible this season. I wrote in my reliever ranks last night that he has a 2.02 ERA, which is the second lowest behind Justin Verlander among pitchers with at least 55 innings pitched. And that's a pretty good list to be on. Yeah, especially for a guy who was a top prospect as a starter and never really panned out. And now he's finally coming into his own as a reliever. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, 2011. How old was I? Like 14. that's crazy. Yeah, I remember him coming up. I still can't believe they had him above like Bryce Harper and Mike Trout and stuff. But yep. Hey, yep. Neither of those guys have been as good as Matt Moore this season, to be honest, because of injuries.
Yeah,
I
suppose. So,
yeah. Yeah, maybe not in the WAR section, but in the ERA section, he's definitely beating both mm-hmm. of them. Actually, you could say that both of those guys have zero ERAs, but nonetheless, let's close things out. Let's cover a couple bullpens that we're going to be looking out over next week, whether that be looking for guys to take over a closer role or just trying to see what's going on, like we talked about, and basically all the bullpens. It's just everything's up in the air. Which bullpens are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of all the bullpens we've talked about here. You know, San Diego, obviously, I think that's going to take some time, but
yeah,
just to see how they transition, like what they do until they're ready to move Hader back into the role. That's definitely going to have some fantasy implications for, you know, that team should. I know they're struggling right now, but I still believe they'll figure things out. There's just too much talent there to not turn things around, but who knows? I mean, Ryan Pressly injury today too, seeing where Houston has a bunch of options to turn mm-hmm. to. So seeing where they go for that, will definitely be something to watch. And then, yeah, the Yankees, I mean, Clay Holmes is back Monday. Does he go right back into the closer role, or do we get someone else? Is there a new name there? Are they going to mix and match with, you know, Peralta and Loaiza or something like that? Definitely a lot to figure out there. So yeah, those are definitely the three teams that are keeping an eye on, because they could have, you know, big implications for fantasy and just the playoff races in baseball in general right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are great calls. That Yankees bullpen is just way up in the air, and the NL West, it's like every single team out there other than the Rockies and the Giants seem to be struggling to settle on one closer. So I think that's going to be the division I'm watching this week. Last week it was the AL West. Now I'm going to be watching the NL West. Not that I wasn't already as a Giants and A's fan. But yeah, there's just so much going on. I never thought that we would get to this point in the season because it seemed like everything was getting like very secure. Everything was being cemented. Seemed like a lot of guys were, you know, latching onto roles, and like it was just gonna seem like everything was getting figured out finally, and now it feels like April again, where it's just like all of the closers are just up in the air. You don't really know who's gonna get it, and there's not really much time for things to get figured out.
No, we're running out of time, and yeah, this week was super chaotic and just kind of came out of nowhere with, you know, injuries and, you know, Hader and Kimbrel losing their jobs. So it's not the time. It's not the time you want to see any of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope for the best for all those guys dealing with injuries. I hope for the best for the fantasy managers that are trying to figure out what's going on with their Josh Hader shares and that kind of stuff. But things will get ironed out within the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we get some clarity within the next week. But before we go ahead,
and just a weird note and something that just happened. Edwin Diaz pitched the eighth and got a hole tonight, while Adam Ottavino got the save in the ninth inning. So, I mean, that's like apparently Buckshell Walter's going with that trend of pitching your best guys, you know, in high leverage spots, not necessarily the ninth inning. So, I don't know if that's, it feels like something new there. I feel like Diaz usually gets the ninth no matter what.
They've done that a couple times where he's used it against the middle of the order. But I mean, it's the Colorado Rockies on the road. Yeah, so I don't know what he was scared about.
Exactly. But yeah, it's nothing to worry about or panic about, but just thought it was interesting to, and that definitely hurt, you know, it's tough for you, anyone who's got Edwin Diaz that missed out on a save tonight.
Moving down from the number one closer down to the bottom of the list now. Come on. Tier. I think he's going to be fine. But before we end the podcast, why don't you go ahead and link, you know, what you've got going on and your socials?
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at @IamRickGraham. And, you know, as always, putting out three lists each week for closers, holds, and save plus holds. And other than that, on Pitcher List, definitely check out the reliever ranks each day that Jake and the whole reliever team have done a great job with so far this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a long year of reliever.
It's a grind.
Riding. Oh, it is a grind. Yeah, I've been. August has not been kind to me in terms of keeping up with all the stuff. I've got a long few weeks ahead of me catching up on Pitcher List articles and everything. But I've still been staying strong on the reliever ranks twice a week. So that's where you can check out my work there. I've been trying to get more stuff up on the Athletes Hub as well. So let's hope I can get back to the usual on that. But you can also find some of my work at Baseball HQ as well. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. But do you have any final thoughts?
Nothing really. Just, you know, hopefully we get some of these answers figured out by the next time we talk next week.
Yeah. Stay strong, fantasy managers. It's the final stretch. Now is the time to put in the most work, because this is where the season counts the most.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, talk to everybody next week.